It's the most accessible form of exercise on the planet. It's free. It requires no equipment, no gym, no special skill. You're already doing it every day walking. But here is what today's guests want you to know to understand. Most of us are walking on autopilot and we're missing almost all of its power because how you walk, how you breathe, your awareness, your intention can turn a simple stroll into something closer to medicine, something that calms your mind, energizes your body, and even adds years to your life. Today, one of the doctors of Eastern Asian medicine is going to show you how every step can become a journey towards vitality. Now, I have an extraordinary guest with me today. Dr. Jacques Mo is a doctor of traditional East Asian medicine and a true pioneer. He took the very first acupuncture licensing exam ever given in California back in 1977. He is a fourth generation holder of Sun Tai Chi and has spent his life at the intersection of ancient practice and modern healing. He's written a beautiful book with his colleague, Walking on Your Way to Vitality, with Dr. Jacques. Welcome to the show. I am so excited to have you here, and I just can't wait to begin. Let's start with the big idea. You know, we're in a moment where everyone's chasing the next workout, the next gadget, the next biohack, and yet you've gone back to the simplest movement there is. Why walking?
All right. Well, first of all, thank you, Stacey, for having me. And yes, why walking? There is walking. There's many different methods of walking. So that is the foundation. That is our basic foundation. But how can we maximize our walking potential? And that's what the book is about. Walking Your Way to Vitality includes vitality walk, which is focusing on breath work, stepping, and dynamic breath. That particular breath energizes your body, it super oxygenates your body, so you feel less tired, less fatigue, this whole idea of vitality. And then so many types of walking. You might have even seen, wherever you are, individuals in park walking backwards, called the retro walking or backwards walking. That walking is based on one of the methods from the Tai Chi movement called the repulsed monkey, and that walking itself your proprioception, enhances your balance, enhances your quadriceps, the glutes, the buttocks muscle, and also affects your neuroplasticity. So there is so much that you can do with walking. Traditional walking is fantastic. You want to get your steps. You do want to, you know, try and get between 4,500 and 8,000 steps. You know, 10,000 steps was the magic number. It was developed after the 1964 Olympics with this gadget called the Mampo Kai. It was a pedometer. It went up to 10,000. So everybody do 10,000 steps. However, the modern research found out, you know, 8,000 is more than enough. But even if you do 4,500, you're still getting the benefits.
Yeah.
So then we go into different types of walking for your balance, for your stress level, which is really something really, really a key thing of reducing stress, taking just a regular walk to reduce your stress level. And it works. It decreases the cortisol. It decreases the stress response.
I love that. Now, yeah. What does this everyday act offer that we've completely overlooked?
Yeah. So the thing about it is, as the society has evolved, you know, after Industrial Revolution, wherever you are, a lot of people are now starting to, you know, have a car. If they did not have a car, they use public transport. And, you know, even as a child, and you would know that in the, let's say here in the United States, a generation or two generations ago, people used to walk to school. The children would walk. First grade children would walk to school.
Yeah.
In primary school, they would walk to school in the secondary schools all the way to high school. Yeah. They would walk for 12 years. And, you know, I'm not aware of too many countries that are not doing that. I know in Japan, little kids walk to kindergarten and it's safe and it's legal. Now, if you have your kid go out under the age of 12 walk alone, you could get prosecuted by the authorities for, you know, neglecting your child. So something so basic as walking has diminished through time with society. So definitely your parents and grandparents used to walk more than you did.
Yes.
And if you go even and you look at the documentaries or movie clips of individuals in their, in the 1950s and 60s and 70s, they were so much slimmer because they walked.
Yes.
And nowadays they don't, you know. And I even remember myself when I was in China in the 90s, very few people had cars. A lot of people had to ride their bicycle.
Yeah.
I would see very few people overweight.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Beijing. And you know, and within a period span of 10 years, let's say from the early 90s to the early 2000s, all of a sudden I would see so many kids that, you know, that of course the diet changed, you know, the economy changed, but so many of those kids were no longer walking. They were being driven or taking the subway or the train or whatever to their school. And that's something that has gone to the side, to the wayside.
Yeah.
So yes, absolutely. We need to go back to the basic foundation, and the basic foundation is movement. So in our book, we have one of the great Chinese physician saying movement is the key. You know, if a river does not move, it becomes stagnant. If a door hinge does not move, it becomes rotten. So movement is the key to preserve your health and your vitality. So it's not about, you know, the lifespan, but what type of quality of life you're going to have in your 60s, in your 70s, into your 80s, and even into your 90s.
Mm-hmm.
You can have the quality of life if you have movement.
Yes.
Tai Chi, Qigong, yoga, all those movement practices are beneficial. You know, people like to play even things like ping pong or table tennis. That is movement.
Yes.
Or walk. Walking you on a golf course is going to be more beneficial than riding the cart. So I don't think there's that many golf courses that offer the walking component. Usually you have to get on a golf course and move along the different holes there.
Yes. And what's the difference between just getting your steps in and walking as a genuine practice?
Yeah. So I think the difference is the mindfulness component. That's the secret sauce. So the ability to focus, let's say, on your breath. And okay, you're going to focus on being present in the here and now. And I'm going to focus on the breath. And as I mentioned, the vitality breath has two inhalations. So you're going to, you're going to sniff in as you step, and then you're going to sniff out very dynamically. And then you have two empty steps. Just having that practice, focus your mental aspect into the present. So your mind cannot go and think about, you know, the past or the future, but you are in the present. And that also decreases your stress levels.
Yes. Now, this is where your work goes deeper than any fitness guide. Your approach draws on time honored concepts like qi, prana, breath, work, the principles behind tai chi, and qigong. And for our listeners who are listening right now, who's heard those words but don't really understand them, break them down for us. You know, Jacques, you use your tai chi language that makes you perfect for this. You know, like you're what is qi, like, in plain terms?
Yeah. So, you know, qi, it's the Chinese character translate as breath. It's as a character actually for the cooking of the rice and the power of the vapor of the rice. That is, it's like a caloric measurement or energetic measurement.
Yeah.
You know, you might think of it as in yoga, they call it prana. In Ayurveda, it's prana. It's breath. So qi, it would be breath. Qigong means the practice of breath. Right. Tai chi is not great ultimate breath, but that's great ultimate practice, is the yin yang symbol that is called the tai chi. So going back into time, the key thing here is that the physicians back in China, especially a physician called Watteau in the second century, that's over 1800 years ago, he developed a series of movement based on observation of nature. And what he did is observed different animals and let's take the bird like a crane. What's so special about the crane? Its ability to have the balance.
Yes.
What's so special about a tiger or a feline animal? The ability to step in a very gentle, very conscious fashion. Yes. What is the ability of the bear? That power in the shoulder, that power and that presence throughout many cultures. So some of these symbolism is found throughout many cultures. The interesting thing is that in China, they developed some specific movement as preventative movements for health and well-being. So that's the key. So those practices were done originally for health maintenance and prevention. Even the term Kung Fu and the Temple of the Shaolin, the very famous Temple of Shaolin, there was a great Indian yogi called Bodhidharma that went there around the 6th century, and he developed this exercise for the monks because the monks used to sit and meditate, and they became weak from sitting and meditating. So he developed a series of these Qigong exercises to strengthen the body. It's a type of yoga, but it's a little bit different, more movement than static posture. So those are the I Ching Jing of Damo. So there's a few different schools of practices and health-enhancing movements that have been adapted in this type of health preservation that is a treasure from Asia.
I love that. Now, and how does bringing breath and awareness into something as ordinary as walking actually change what's happening in the body?
Yeah, so the breath, of course, being aware of your inhalation and exhalation is really a key.
Yes.
And the breath itself will oxygenate your body. If you oxygenate your body, you become more aware of all those incredible fine neurotransmitter and chemicals that get released, and it affects the brain. So it's the brain, not only the lung, not only your cardiovascular system, pulmonary system, but it's the function that it has on the brain. So that's the key thing. If you're able to get this super oxygenation, you get more oxygen, you more activity in the brain. It helps neuroplasticity. It helps things like, you know, your hippocampus and some of the structures in the brain that actually people used to think they diminish with age. But no, you can actually enhance them with age. So it doesn't necessarily mean that as you get older, you will have a decrease. You can increase. And this is the new scientific discovery that all these type of practices are enhancing one's health and well-being into a much later phase in life, which let's not forget that, you know, back in ancient time, when Julius Caesar was assassinated in Rome, he was around 44 years old, and that was considered old then.
Yes.
So see how the times have changed now, you know. So, you know, we see how every decade, you know, the baby boomers, they don't act like they were in their parents' generations. You know, you see, at 50 or 60, we're really old. We can't get up. We can't walk. We can't take trip. We can't go and play pickleball. We can't go and do this. But they're quite active. So the times have changed. So people have realized that they can maximize their potential. And one of them is, of course, ability to keep your breath, to keep your oxygenation, and to keep your vitality. Because, you know, the key thing is vitality. This vital concept has been there in medicine, you know, since the time of the Greeks and, you know, all the way up. And now people are really wanting to have the energy to do what they can do.
Yeah.
So we save for retirement financially, but what about preserving your health so you can enjoy your retirement?
Exactly. Now let's get to the heart of the book, because this is what makes it so unique. You teach 6 distinct walking styles, each rooted in these traditions. Give us the tour. Like, what are they and how do they differ?
Yeah. So the first chapter is the traditional walk, which we discuss the walking like everybody does. We included the retro walking, which is walking backwards. Please be aware of your surrounding and do it safely. And the amazing thing is walking backwards, I first saw it in China in the 90s. And I said, well, that's very strange. Why are these people walking backwards? And now it's becoming very popular. But it was done here in the United States in 1915, over 100 years ago. And this individual walked from San Francisco to New York backwards. It's all documented. In 1915, and he won a $5,000 bet. So that's the first chapter.
Yeah.
And we talk about, you know, how many steps and what the science has decided as the ideal steps, that you do not need to do the 10,000 steps, but, you know, 4,500 to 8,000 would be good.
Yeah.
Then we have the vitality walk, which is derived from a practice that is done in the Himalayan region, where you focus on the breath and the stepping.
Yes.
And it includes this mudra. And if you take away one thing from this interview, just practicing this mudra. Mudra is the specific hand position that is used in yogic practices.
Yeah.
And you fold your thumb very gently in your fist. So you put your thumb in and you wrap your finger gently. Just walking in this position has an effect. And we know that the thumb represents the lung meridian in acupuncture. And also the middle, the palm, represents a key point called the lagong point. So it has many different possibilities. So this position is one of the dynamic positions for the vitality walk. And then after that, we have the mindful walk, which is based on the Zen practice of mindfulness. And of course, stepping and being aware of each step and having a clarity of the mind. You can hold your hands in different position. We discuss, you know, maybe a half a prayer position, which is holding your hand like a prayer hand, but you only have one hand out, or you're holding it in this type of mudra, which is a hand laying on top of the other and just connecting the two thumbs together. Then we move on to the Tai Chi animal walk. So those are specific walks that are based on observational animals. As I discussed, the great physician Watteau developed those. Uh-huh. Incorporating the Tai Chi practice, you have the catwalk, which is based on the feline movement. And then you have the golden rooster walk, which is a one stance walking that you can do to enhance your balance. And the bear spirit walk to enhance your strength and your shoulder and your back. And then we move on to the immunity walk. And that walk was a very interesting walk because I used that specific walk on my AIDS patients way back in the 80s, the mid-80s, when there was the big AIDS epidemic. I had numerous patients in Palm Springs, when I had my practice in Palm Springs, that were diagnosed with AIDS. And at that time, you know, of course, they had the HIV virus, but by the time they got the diagnosis, they were full-blown AIDS.
Yeah.
So these patients had a life expectancy of 18 months once diagnosis was given.
Wow.
There were no medication. There was no treatment.
You know,
interesting movie called The Dallas Buyers Club, mm-hmm. who was a, I think it was made like maybe 20 years ago or close to that. It really illustrates what was happening then. So the AIDS community was very open to doing these herbs and acupuncture and Tai Chi and Qigong and breath work. And some of my patients actually that did this immunity walk were able to survive long enough for the medication. So when they were given just 18 months till the so-called cocktails came about.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that, and that's the immunity walk. And then we move on to the longevity walk, or the mindful self-reflection, which is a walk that you do in a circular pattern.
Mm.
In Chinese, it's called Ba Gua. Ba means eight. Gua is trigram, which is basically the symbol of the Korean flags. If you ever seen the Korean flag and you see the yin yang in the middle and you see this little broken and solid line, those are the trigrams. This is a circular walking pattern that was developed by some mystics way back. We do not know exactly when, but we know that this circumambulation, walking around sacred site, occurs in a place like Lhasa, the Tibetan capital, or Mount Kailash, and some churches in Europe, the old churches, they have this labyrinth, and people walk the circle. It is a practice to just really become focused into this universal pattern. And interesting enough, is to mimic the circumambulation. It's mimicking the way the solar system works, but also our sun also has this circumambulation in the Milky Way galaxies. I believe it's about every 250 million years it completes the actual cycle. And the Milky Way also has this circumambulation. So you mimic the movements of the universe.
Yeah.
So those are the key aspects of the book. And then in the back, we touch a little bit on nutrition and some ideas from the Eastern practices, or how to eat according to the seasons and according to the environment. So just that's the appendix.
I love that. And is there a style for energy and a different one for calm?
Yeah. So the energy is the vitality walk, which is more dynamic breath. And the calm is just more the mindful walking. Definitely the mindful walking. Even the Tai Chi, the catwalk can create a sense of calm, or the circular walk. Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
Love that. And how would you know if someone, you know, like which walk is right for what they're trying to feel or heal on any given day?
Yeah, I think that is a very intuitive process where you feel it within yourself. Okay, today I really need to get myself more invigorated.
Yes.
You know, I need to be here on your show, Stacey. So I can't be, oh, I'm so tired. No, I need to be vital. You know, I need to have that power. Versus, you know, sometimes you feel, you know, maybe you just need to calm down and be more centered.
Yes.
You know, decrease your stress level. You know, if you drive a car and you're going over 40 miles an hour, you're in a fight or flight mode.
Yes.
So that activity, you say, well, you know, I'm not, you know, encountering bears or animals. You know, I should not be stressed. Yeah, it is automatically stressful because you make a mistake. It can be life or death.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have all these kind of stresses. And it's very funny because I had one of my friends from the great kingdom of Bhutan. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of this place in the Himalayas where they measure the gross national product in happiness? And he says, and I say, well, you should have no stresses there. I said, no, he says, I do have stress. I said, what do you mean you have stress? I said, I get dropped off by the bus to go to my village, and it's a 2-hour hike up in the mountains. And there's bears and mountain tigers or lions, whatever they have there. It is stressful. Okay, I understand. So we all have these type of stresses. Sometimes it's stressful driving. Sometimes it's stressful being on a hike. Here now, I live in Southern California. If you go out on a hike, you have to be careful because winter is over and the little snakey called the rattlesnakes are out. And there have been cases where people have gotten attacked by the rattlesnakes. And as a matter of fact, even during the World Cup here, the Swiss national team is afraid to train because they're in San Diego and they saw some rattlesnakes. So, you know, they're out and about. You never know what you can encounter.
That's true. Very true. Now, for the listeners out there, if you've been looking for a way to feel better that doesn't require a gym membership or a trainer or an hour that you don't have, this might be the simplest, most powerful thing you'll ever do this week. Follow the advisor with Stacey Chalemi right now. Every week, we bring you the experts who help you care for your body, your mind, and your whole life. Now, let's bridge the, you know, ancient and the modern and give people something to use. Now, your book pairs these traditional techniques with scientific explanations of why they work. Now, you know, what exactly, you know, in your background, you know, mind helps you with mindful movement and meditation and how it's so perfect. And, you know, what does science say that is actually happening in the body and then in the mind when we walk this way?
Well, the science says that, you know, the mind and the body are one. So it's interesting because, you know, in the Western concept, we had this dichotomy. You know, mind, body. But in the Eastern concepts, there was no differentiation between emotions and organ system functions.
Right.
There was no differentiation between, you know, how we feel with a sensation, let's say, of fear and how it would affect our, at that time, they did not know the cortisol, but how it would affect that system. So they already knew about it. But how did they know about it? By empirical observation.
Mm-hmm.
How they observe the patient by the way the pulse is, by the way certain trigger points, certain sensitive area in the bodies are. So by doing that, you're able to determine. So the Western science now has been able to demonstrate, yes, things like the sympathetic nervous system, you know, the effect of the vagus nerve, how the vagus nerve has this regulatory function in the body. And sometimes people have this vagus dysregulation and actually how some of these activities harmonize the vagus nerve because they work also on the left and right hemisphere.
Right.
And with the corpus callosum, the big juncture of these two hemispheres, they get synchronized. So when you do some of these movements where your left and right hand and the right and right foot are moving in a crisscross pattern, you're getting the health benefits. So they were understood through observation. Now we understand them through, you know, modern science, neuroplasticity, and all the other factors that occur within our nervous system and our brain.
I love that. And can you give our listeners like one simple walk-in practice that they could try on their very next walk today?
Yeah. So the very simple practice you can try walking and just folding your thumb inside your palm, and then very gently wrap your fingers around your thumb and in a very loose fist. This is the primordial mudra. Mudra is a specific hand position. You see it in yogic practices for meditation, but also the newborns, the babies, even in the womb, they keep this posture, and this affects your body and your breath. So you can do that. So in our website, Walking Your Way to Vitality, so we have a website where you see some of these demonstrations down there too. So you can look at our website and get to the QR code. So we have a couple of the QR codes demonstration. And that is where modern technology has intersected ancient wisdom, where you can write about it, but you can actually see it inside the book with a QR code. It's just amazing.
I love
for
that.
For a baby boomer, I'm just amazed about technology.
Yeah, no, it is amazing. You know, I'm not a baby boomer, but I am totally amazed at how much technology has just, you know, made such a huge change in the way we do things in such a short period of time. It's truly amazing. Now, this is the bigger promise of your work, and I want to land there. Like, you frame walking not just as fitness, but as a path to vitality, longevity, and inner peace, almost like a moving meditation. Like, how does this kind of mindful movement change someone's relationship with their own body and mind over time?
Yeah, I think, you know, we in the West, we're very much focused on the exterior, you know, 30 days challenge,
yeah.
you know, get your muscle, get your quads, get your glutes, get your bicep, get all this ready for the summer outing, and so on and so forth. But what this does, it creates inner peace by the practice.
Yes.
And also the idea that, you know, you do not have to be concerned about, let's say, over 65.
Yeah.
You have a chance of falling, and you know, within 1 year, things can turn, you know, very, very poorly for you.
Yeah.
So by having that confidence, and it's self-confidence where, you know, I can walk. And if I trip on something, and it happened to me as I was teaching a workshop on fall prevention at UCLA, and my foot, as I was going up to the stage, my foot got stuck in the handle of a bag,
yep,
of a backpack,
mm-hmm,
like a trap.
Yeah, yeah.
And I
yeah.
went flying forward, but I caught myself with my other foot, and I prevented a major fall.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That is the idea of, you know, of being confident. Okay, I can, you know, go into my 60s, into my 70s, 80s, hopefully into your 90s, at least to 100,
yeah,
and be able to have that confidence.
Right.
So that is the key thing, vitality, confidence, and peace of mind, you know, to have a lesser stressful reaction in your body, less cortisol, less stress, to
yeah.
have this inner peace. And that's where, you know, that intersection, the secret sauce, the mindfulness,
yes,
that intersection between being in a center and yet vital.
I love
calm,
that.
You know, so that's the key. And I saw it on, you know, thousands and thousands of patients. So some of the thing I'm right now also at the VA, the West Lay Veteran Administration, where we have the PTSD clinic we treat
yeah.
with acupuncture. And interesting enough that the Veteran Administration as 2017 has a mandated benefit for activities such as Tai Chi, yoga, breath work, mindfulness, acupuncture. It is part of their whole health initiative. So they, you
yeah.
know, if it works on veterans and it helps them, then,
yeah.
you know, we have the gratefulness and the gratitude to have this as a tool for the health and well-being of our, you know, patients, friends, listener, family.
I love it. Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
And for the person listening who feels stressed they feel stuck in life. They feel like they're just not, elevating to the potential they want to be. What would you say is the very first step, literally, toward a healthier, more balanced life?
Well, I think it is, at least on a physical, mental level, the ability to move and focus on your breath.
Yes.
If you focus on your breath, and very often you see when you stress, you are starting to hold your breath and not able to fully expand and breathe down deeply. So just that act of breathing and slowly being able to release the tension from your body with a basic walk, that on its own can make a drastic difference.
I love that. I love that. Now, where can people find your book?
Yeah, so a book is available on Amazon or any other booksellers that you have, independent booksellers. But you can go to our website, Walking Your Way to Vitality. Just type walkingyourwaytovitality.com and you can see some of the walks, some of the QR codes, and some clips of the podcast. So it all has to do with a small commitment, even if you decide to do it for 1 week.
Yes.
For the 1 week, I'm just going to go out and walk around the block or walk around the parking area for 5 minutes, and then you can increase it from there. So commit to a small change right off the bat, and that can make a big difference.
Now, so what do you mostly want people to understand about something as simple and as profound as the way we walk through our days?
Yeah, I think the most important thing and profound is to make a commitment for your health. And the commitment has to start today. So, you don't put it off for a New Year resolution or on my next birthday. I want to start today, and I'm just going to start with a small step. And if you can do that on a daily basis, then you can accumulate from there. That's the key thing. Yeah. So just start with a small step. Do not have an unreachable goal. Okay, I want to do 10,000 steps today. I'm going to do... No, as a matter of fact, I want to do 20,000 steps because, I read somebody said had a 20,000 step challenge. It's unrealistic for most people to do that on a daily basis. So start with the small and then build on it. And by doing that, change can occur.
Now, you have the book. Is there any products and services other than the book that you offer?
Well, I have the book, The Walking Your Way to Vitality. The only services, if you're in Southern California or LA, we have a talk here at the Santa Monica Library coming up in August, which is August 19th. So, we will have a tour for some of these talks and workshop. However, what you can do is go to the website, Walking Your Way to Vitality, and, some of the workshops and seminars will be coming up in the near future. But, just keep posted on that website and hopefully, we'll be in a city near you. Right now we're on the West Coast. We haven't had anything happening on the East Coast yet, but we have different friends, colleagues, and we hope to be there on the East Coast too. And everywhere in between. Let's not forget the East and West and the middle too.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And you're not too far away from us. Even for the East Coast, it's a couple hour, plane ride. It's not that far.
That's right. No, it's not that far. Not that far. Great.
Now, for the listeners out there, I want you to realize that it turns out that the path to feeling better may have been right under your feet the entire time. Not a new machine or a miracle routine, just the oldest movement we know done with breath awareness and intention. And, Dr. Jacques Morocco, I want, you spent, your entire lives, bridging ancient wisdom and modern healing. And today, you reminded us that, all of us that, vitality can begin with one simple mindful step. And I just want to thank you so much for being here today. And tell us once again, the listeners, where they can find you.
Yeah. So you can find me and Dr. Yun at walkingyourwaytovitality.com. Walkingyourwaytovitality.com. And you will find all kinds of information there and even able to see QR code and see us in action there.
This was wonderful. You Dr. Jacques, you did such an amazing job explaining the different types of walking and breathing exercises and the different segments from your book that can be easily applied to your life and actually can change your mental health, your physical health, your overall longevity. And I am just honored to have you on the show today. And I really, you know, I hope you'll come back and we can talk more in detail about all the different types, you know, of you know, Chinese medicine that you mentioned today. And I really look forward to maybe talking to you in the future, you know, and if you'll, you know, have the honor of coming back. And I really enjoyed all the wisdom and knowledge that you shared with others, because nowadays there are so many things out there. I think people get confused and I think people want fast results. And, you know, it's not, you know, nothing fast is worth the while. You know, it little baby steps, you know, lead to big wins. And I think you proved that today, you know, just by the knowledge you shared. And I thank you once again for being here and just sharing your knowledge and wisdom with us.
Thank you, Stacey. Gratefulness to you.
Thank you. You have a wonderful day.